Hello and welcome to episode 13 of the V2 Academy. I'm Chris Lappin, and joining me as ever, I've got Peter Prickett.
Good evening. How's everything?
You well?
Yeah, I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. Yep. Knackered. Look good. So shortly, we'll be joined by former director of coaching at Arsenal and author, Gerald Jones. But first, we thought we'd ask the question, just because you have good players, does that mean you're a good coach?
Yeah. Without shocking the world, I think it could be safe to say that there's quite a few grassroots coaches out there who've got quite big egos.
Yeah.
And great evidence of this is when they are assessed by FA tutors, given advice on how to coach, and they do not take this well. And I've witnessed it many times because they think they are fantastic.
Yeah.
Because they feel that what they have done with their players on the pitch is evidence enough that what they are doing is working. So therefore, they are a good coach. However, I would ask the question, these players who are elevating their team to a high standard, how long have they been there? How long has that particular coach worked with these players? Now, I would venture to say that if a coach has worked with a set of players from the age of 8 and taken them to a high standard and players are being looked at by academies, then they probably are a good coach. Probably.
Yeah.
If, however, the players have come to them at the age of 14 and that's the first time I've ever seen them, how much of an influence have they had? They could have had quite a lot of influence. I mean, I've had a player who came to me at that age and he was playing as a right back at his old club and told to stay on the halfway line. At age 16, he's now a centre forward scoring 20 goals in the season. So whether my positive influence on him has been through coaching or just because I looked at him and went, nah, we'll play you somewhere else.
Yeah.
No. But the likelihood is that you will have more influence on a player and his development at the younger ages than you will at the older ages. So if you were to go in and take over an under-16s team at a well-established grassroots club and win trophies when that's already what they were doing, are you a good coach or have you just got a set of good players? And sometimes have you just got a set of good players because your club's got the name?
Yeah.
There's plenty of grassroots clubs in areas that have a reputation, so almost automatically the better players, and when I say better players, those who are playing for the counties and even those who are playing for the good school team, football teams, go to those clubs, whereas the kids who can't get in their school football team will go to another team. The kids who have barely kicked a ball will go to another team. Now, if that kid who's barely kicked a ball in a couple of years with a coach suddenly becomes quite a good footballer, there's quite a good chance that that coach is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think there's quite a few coaches out there whose ego is based on the fact that I work for this club. We have a partnership with a pro club and we put so many players through our system. And you just go, okay, mate, great, but how long have you actually worked with these players? How much of a say have you actually had in their becoming a good player? Or were you almost gifted a set of good players? And I think the same can go into academies as well. We are all aware of Ajax and their academy.
Yeah.
And how good it is. And the same for Barcelona and La Masia and how good that academy is. But a part of the reason it's that good is because it's Ajax and it's because it's La Masia. And the best kids want to go there. Or they recruit very aggressively. I know that Everton are very, very aggressive in the way that they recruit players. And they're successful. That's not saying that the coaches aren't good. But when we talk about clubs with massive competition, small catchment areas, and they're producing players, you start thinking, coaches there must be quite good. Dinamo Zagreb are one. Monaco is another one. But Monaco, I think, is the... From what I've seen and heard, it's the aggressive approach and also the offer of, hey, kid, parents, do you fancy coming to live in Monaco?
You'd have to pay taxes.
Oh, okay. Okay, if I have to.
Yeah.
So what's the evidence that someone's a good coach? What are the raw materials that they are given and what happens to them? Are you a good coach if you take a player who is already playing in an academy level and you win a few bits and bobs with them? Or is it real good coaching when you take a kid who can't run, can't kick a ball, can't dribble when he arrives and he gets into his school football team? Mm. Which one is the real success? Which one's the real good coach?
And we're delighted to be joined on the line by Gerard Jones. How are you doing this evening, Gerard?
Very good. How are you?
I'm very well. So, those who haven't heard our previous interviews with Gerard, Gerard is a former director of coaching at Arsenal. He's an author. He's worked at Rochdale, Bradford, and is currently working in the US at Eastside FC. And Gerard has joined us today to discuss dealing with parents at a grassroots level. So, Gerard, Peter, for our non-coaching listeners, do you have any horror stories of parents behaving badly?
I've got a few. I don't know if I should say on here. I want to start with, because I think it's a great topic, is, and it's never something that that's actually taught you as a coach. You know, I don't know any course as such, apart from maybe the Advanced Youth Award, and that was as I've been spending maybe 10 years developing my craft. I don't know any course that's actually really looked into the detail of how do you deal with parents? How do you manage parents? How do you educate parents? How do you communicate with parents? And I think that could be a course in itself. I think it's very often a subject that's just flirted with or briefly covered to some degree. And the only way you kind of figure it out is through experience. But I think parents are the most valuable asset we have in coaching. And if we can get them on board and maximise them, even better. But, you know, I've got a few horror stories, as I'm sure you guys will have as well. But the main thing is, you know, they want to feel involved. I mean, how do you deal with a parent that's, you know, very enthusiastic, thinks their kid's the best thing and is constantly talking about other kids in the group, constantly talking about other kids on the team and how their kid's better than their kid? And, you know, I think they're the problems that coaches face, and there's many others, isn't there? You know, why has my kid only got X number of minutes? You know, how come he hasn't got more game time in this area? Or, you know, so you're always going to face them things. I think the main thing for coaches is to make sure you've got your evidence. Back it up, and you can communicate effectively.
Without dropping anyone in it, I'm going to use the classic line, a friend of mine, and it is genuinely a friend of mine, their child is in a team where one of the parents is a former professional footballer, and that former professional did not conduct themselves in a way that we would encourage, let's put it that way. And eventually they left, but not after several clashes between this ex-pro and this volunteer parent coach. So you talk about your challenges. How do you deal with that situation? As it was, the club just eventually just stood up and said, if you don't like it, you know where the door is, and they walked through the door.
So have you ever felt have you ever felt undermined by parents shouting bad instructions at the side of the pitch? Or?
I wouldn't use the word undermined, but I'd use the word, you know, it's a bit stupid. You got parents shouting press, squeeze, whatever else they're shouting. They're literally trying to control the game for you.
Yeah.
And listen, that happens at a lot of levels. Not just grassroots. It happens in very small, minor cases in some academies, although academies tend to police it a lot better, though. You know, they wouldn't dare say anything. It happens week in, week out at the level that I'm working in America, which is, for one, you know, it's elite grassroots. Some of these kids are playing at the top level, equivalent to academies back in England. And these parents are crazy. Some parents.
Yeah.
Some parents. I mean, going back to the message that Peter was talking about, I don't know the ins and outs, so it's not fair for me to say do this, do that. But from my experience, we actually had I was a coach at a club, and one of the dads was an ex-pro. And his kid was getting put into a situation where he might be moved. you know, it didn't go very well. You might get them type of situations if a coach moves on and they really like that coach or whatever happens. And I think everything comes down to know your facts, be clear, you know, and you might not always agree, but making sure that you're honest and upfront with people is the most important thing. And you explain to them beforehand. So before every season starts, we do this with all our teams. We let them know who we are as the coach, but then we let them know our standards and expectations. And we say to them, I don't bother with code of conducts and all that nonsense. I just say to them, listen, I'm coaching. You pay me to do a job. I'm coaching the players. This is my belief. This is how I like to work. This is my style. But it's really important for coaches to explain to parents how they work. Because you might be a coach who's really introverted and really quiet. And they might see that as a sign as you're not coaching, when actually it's just your personality and perhaps you're wanting them to develop their own decisions.
Mm.
And that's coaching. But they might use that as a opportunity, because they'll see you as vulnerable, to speak and coach from the side because you're not. So I think it's important, you don't get into as many problems further down the line if you explain to people how you are. Me, I like the players to make their own decisions, but I am quite a vocal coach. I'm a little bit more of a demand type of guy. So I might be a little bit more vocal than others. Doesn't mean I'm always going to coach on the side, but it means that I will have a voice. And they know that, whereas someone else, they might be quiet. So I think it's important to first explain your style and then explain to them, you know, what your objectives are and what your expectations are for the season, for them, for you, for everyone. And then everyone knows where you stand. And we always say to them, we have no problem with you giving information as long as it's not coaching information. If it's praise or it's reinforcing a message that we've worked on, for example, Jimmy's going down the outside, he beats the player, he's a number seven, he puts a cross in and we score from it, or he just puts a cross in, that could be part of his learning objective, and I might have shared that with the parent. I don't mind the parent saying, go on, be positive, 1v1. That, I've got no problems with that. If the parent's saying, get at him, no, don't pass, dribble, go down the line. Right, I've got a problem with that. Because now you're telling him what to do, you know? And that's where I think you've got to be clear on your expectations with them. And hopefully you don't fall into as many traps. And then if they do coach, I usually tell them, sorry guys, if you don't mind, no coaching from the side. And if they continue, I just tell them again. If he continues again, I usually just say, right, off you pop. And I literally get move them on. And it's as simple as that. And I think it's got to be as clear as that. You know, we had an incident where I actually got booked a yellow card last season, would you believe it? Never before in my life I got booked a yellow card.
Yeah.
Because one of my parents was too vocal on the side. And he's screaming and shouting at the referee's decisions.
Yeah.
So I got booked the yellow card. So I just said to him, look, you're going to have to leave the field type of thing. Because if I get another one, I'm gone. And that's how they police it out here.
Yeah.
You know, which is quite interesting. I don't have to do that back in England or not.
I've been very lucky with my particular team at grassroots level. I've had a good bunch of parents, but I, again, similar to what you're saying, I spoke to them early and they understood that I didn't expect them to be giving instructions, and if they were giving instructions, they'd probably be told to be quiet quite quickly. We still get the odd shout that's a bit confusing, and I think that's another issue, is that the message from the side can completely mess with the message from the coach, and you just end up with confused children. I took a game for another age group, a younger age group, and I was watching one of the kids, and he was dribbling with the ball, and as he got closer to the sideline, he stared at me and stopped, and the ball just ran out of play. And I've asked him, what was that? And he didn't give me an answer, and he carried on. So I got another parent who was close by. I said, can you just look after them for a moment and walk round the pitch? And on the other side of the pitch, his dad was standing there screaming instructions. And I'm like, well, that's it. That's why he's done that. He's got to the touchline. He's seen an adult and he was expecting to be told what to do. And it's created a situation where when he's not told what to do, he just malfunctioned. So I had a lengthy chat with that parent and another parent about the effect that they're actually having. Of course, they didn't even realise.
Well, do you think with children are taught from an early age that they have to do what their dad tells them? So is it a hard thing for the players to ignore once it...
Do you know what? I don't think you're always going to have that issue where you look over to your dad. I know I did.
Yeah.
You know, it's that sign of approval, isn't it? And you want your dad to give you that smile or that thumbs up. And I think that's quite powerful. I think what's important for people listening is not to think, you know, if the parents are talking, hey, shut up, type of thing. Because I do think, although we don't want, and this is the point Peter was making, we don't want them to be looking over to the side and looking for that instruction or that reward or whatever all the time, you know, from the coach or the parent. We want them to be able to figure it out themselves and make their own decisions. Otherwise, it's like playing FIFA. You know, you might as well play the game for you're joysticking it, aren't you, as I say. But I think what's really important for people to know is, how do we work with parents so that they can feel a part of that experience and support the player? That's like the biggest question. I don't know if you guys have got any ideas, but what we do is we will get them to use certain terminologies that we use or reinforce the actions that we're saying are important. So, for example, we might have a game and I might walk over across the field and say, guys, listen, we're focusing on this today. This is one of the strategies that we're going to work on. So if you see this type of behaviour, please encourage it.
Yeah.
If we win the ball here, yeah, we're looking to break out. So you're keeping them in the learning process. And, you know, it's a little bit of a give and take. I don't think it's fair if a parent goes to a game and they're expected to watch that game for the whole however many minutes and keep their mouth shut. I don't think that's fair. So I think what we've got to be better at is giving them a voice, but in the right manner. So again, and it's a very, it's got to be black and white. You can't have a grey area, you know, where you're saying, well, because the parents will say, well, you told me I could say something. You know, it's got to be, this is instruction time. We want them to figure it out themselves. We don't want you to start telling them pass out, kick it, whatever. But if you see them doing a behaviour that's important to their journey, we want you to reinforce that message. So, for example, my parents will shout, great surfing. Go on, Danielle, surf, surf, great surfing. Which means be patient, 1v1 body shapes. She loves it, and the crowd loves it, and I love it. You know, she's not saying, Danielle, go win the ball, close her down. She's not saying that. She's reinforcing the behaviour. And I think that's what's important for people to listen is, at any level you're working at, how can we get them more involved? You know, and it's interesting, I don't know what you two feel about that, what I just said, if you agree or disagree.
I think, I mentioned earlier, contradictory messages. So if the parents are understanding of exactly what you're trying to do, then they will know what to praise. If they know that you, as a coach, are not looking for the ball to be smashed long, then you don't want them praising that. They'll understand that, as long as they know. If you're looking for short, sharp, fast passing, and when it happens, it gets a ripple or it gets a shout of great play, I'm perfectly happy with that. It's got to, what they say has to chime with what the coach says. And if it doesn't, we just get, as I said, a mixed bag, some confused kids, and almost a tug of war between parent and coach.
I agree with that, 100%. And the problem I have with one of my teams is a parent played at an alright level, probably thinks they know a lot about the game, you know, has played it quite competently, still plays it as an adult, and he feels that he can tell the kid what to do. And I imagine sometimes he might think, maybe I'm giving the wrong information and this player needs to be doing this instead of this and things like that. And I think you might always run into that, because what we can't control is other people's egos or their personalities. But what we can control is our environment and, as you said, that clarity of what the messages are, that we're on the same page. We do a lot of work with it. I mean, we did a parent education night where we literally brought all the parents in across the club and gave them an opportunity to speak, and we also gave them PowerPoints and we showed them, this is what's important to us at U7, because a lot of the parents, and we've got one in particular who can get a bit crazy at times, and it's like, you know, why are they winning? They got beat 20-10, you know, it's a disaster, and or why aren't they kicking, and you know, all this type of stuff. And they were adamant, they did not agree with 4v4. They thought it was wrong, right?
Yeah.
And other clubs are doing 7v7 and blah, 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 blah. And in the end, after this education night, and obviously what's helped is after the season, you know, this parent has actually seen how the kids have progressed over the fall and winter period. And now they're like, you know what, I wasn't sold on it at first, but now I am. And I think that's important, is that education. Clubs listen. some more on an individual basis, reinforcing why we do what we do, why we place certain emphasis on this in training and not this, why this isn't as important as this. And we do that a lot with different age groups, you know, and all the time, it's a lot of the time they might come back and they disagree, but then you're batting it back and you're reaffirming it, you're sticking to your guns, and, you know, you're telling them, and it's a consistent message. And I think that's the most important thing, is that relationship with them, and it builds a lot of trust, you know, and then over time they buy into it. And if they don't, well, it's a case of, you know, how are we going to work this? Because I'm trying to get the best out of your child, your son or your daughter. If you're going to constantly give the wrong messages, reinforce the wrong messages in the car journey home, etc., this ain't going to work, because you want the best for your kid. And I'll argue this with anyone, no matter how deranged some people can be, a mum and a dad wants the best for their child. They might not always be well educated, but in theory they should want the best for their child.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I think we've got to make sure that we go an extra mile, you know, educating them and working with them. And it's no different to what schools do. Schools do exactly the same thing.
Which is better? I'll use the word better loosely here. A parent with no knowledge of the game, or a parent with a lot of knowledge of the game, which is easier to deal with at grassroots and youth level?
I don't know if it's a straightforward answer. I know what you're alluding to, but I don't know if it's straightforward. Because you could get someone who doesn't understand the thing, and they could think they know everything and cause a problem. Or, you know, you've got the blank canvas and you can educate them. Whereas if you've got someone who knows a lot, they're going to come back at you with more answers, more questions. We had a guy, I was an academy coach at one of my last clubs, and a parent came to the academy coach, not me, it was the year group below me, I remember the situation, and his kid was getting released, and he basically said that he knew more about coaching than the coach, because he read the Module 3 pack, and he read the youth award, and he understands what the FA are trying to say. And I just thought that was ridiculous, you know, because I've read a book or something online, I know more than you. So I think that's a problem. I don't know if there's a straightforward answer.
I think that's a problem with people on the internet in general.
Well, everything's accessible on Twitter, yeah. Podcasts. You know, you'll get parents listening to this, and hopefully, you know, everything, YouTube. You can be an expert to some degree now, you know, because the game is broken down into a lot of detail now, more than it probably was before. So people can be little miniature experts. You know, if they watch Monday Night Football and listen to what people are saying, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh yeah, I get that, you know. I tell you what's important is the car journey home. If we give the parents homework, I mean that seriously, and you're saying to them, you know, can you tally how many times he delivers a successful cross, or how many times he won a 1v1, how many times he defended in wide areas, or how many times he gave the ball away. It could be any measure that you want to do relevant to that kid's development. But what that will do, I guarantee it, is it'll develop a specific conversation on the way home. Whether that parent is well informed about soccer or not, football, sorry, they will have a chat with that kid in the car, and they will say to him, rather than, you know, don't pass the blooming Peter, he's blooming useless, his dad's an idiot, he never gives you the ball back, you need to be, don't listen to the coach. What it'll be is, I tell you what though, you tracked your runner 5 times today, but there was twice where you didn't and you should have done this. And you know what? They'll still coach, won't they? But at least now, you're getting them, whether it's the right information or not, at least you're trying to get them on topic of what you're wanting them to do, if you get my point. Rather than, you know, go off on a tangent, they might still talk nonsense, but at least it's in an area that you want them to focus on. And I also think it's a bit more powerful for the kid. He's listening, he's getting that information from his mum or dad. Bloody hell, you know, I put 2 crosses in today that was really good, and the coach said that as well.
Yeah.
And my dad noticed, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so the key for what I've got from the conversation is to get the parents on side where long-time player development is not relegated at the expense of hoof football and pressure to win at all costs when development is the key.
Yeah. And it's not easy, is it? It sounds easy on this podcast, but it's not easy, you know?
It takes bravery. It does, it really does, because I sat down and had this conversation with a group of coaches at the club, and I asked the question, is our job to win football matches? The answer is not really. Our job is to improve the players, and hopefully with that comes winning games. to lose a game or two and deal with whatever comes our way.
That's a powerful statement, because it's important for coaches to know. I mean, I always say this, it's easy when you're winning because nobody says anything.
Mm.
As soon as you're losing, everyone questions everything. And it's hard because, you know, winning doesn't mean that you're doing things right. But when you're winning, the parents sort of buy into what you're doing.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're losing, but you're saying it ain't important, and then you get drummed 12-0 at the weekend, and you keep saying it's not important, we're trying to work on this, you're under fire. And as you said, bravery is a big one. You know, being confident and, you know, focusing on what you need to do. There's priority. Yeah, I like it.
All right, so I think we'll let you get back to work now, Gerald. So before we go, do you want to plug your social media? And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you feel free to follow us on Twitter, @Gerard_Jones, and you know, follow us on websites, everything, so on. You know, www.gerardschoolofootball.com website. I'm always flexible. I'm always willing to help people out.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to get in touch, feel free.
Yep. All the links will be in the description below this article. So I've really enjoyed speaking to them. I'm sure Peter has today as well, and would love to have you on again in the future.
Thank you.
So huge thanks to Gerard. He said he'll be back on in a few weeks, so we look forward to that. Next week we'll be joined by Northern Ireland's first team futsal assistant manager, Garth Smith. So it's our futsal special, which I'm sure you're very excited for, Peter.
Yes, indeed. Always like a bit of futsal.
Right, well, have a good week. Good night.